Hi there. This is Sue Grant Marshall. I've been writing a series for City Press. Oh my goodness, I've forgotten how long it is now, but possibly 6 or 7 years, called Winning Women. And I have one in front of me right now. And she is a scientist, she's a businesswoman, she's an entrepreneur. Oh my goodness, there are so many things that Dineo Dioma is. I don't know where to start and end. So I'm going to plunge right in and explain just what it is she does in a nutshell. So Dineo has said that I can give her age, 29. She's co-founder and COO of Cape Biotechnologies and also the founder of Deep Medical Therapeutics, and she will explain that to us shortly. So welcome to City Press and our digital online. You know all the fast answers because you're so up there in the science world. What exactly is it that you do?
Thank you so much, Sue. So I would consider myself as a biotech entrepreneur. I really am quite passionate about the biotechnology space and entrepreneurship as well. So firstly, I'm the COO of Cape Biotechnologies, which is an exciting company. What we do is that we manufacture enzymes that are used to analyze DNA. So we actually develop them in a lab and then manufacture them. And it's an exciting opportunity for us because we are currently the only company in Africa that does this. The South African and African market as a whole relies solely on imports from either the US or Europe, and we are able to then fill that gap in the market. And
so do you mean importing enzymes?
Yes,
good,
that's
gracious,
right.
I can't even imagine that. Do they come in a bottle or a tank?
I actually thought you wanted me to answer that. But yes, so we currently import all of these, so it's really such a nice opportunity for us as a company to be able to fill that gap. And I must actually also say that it's quite a success story for the Department of Science and Technology, or now the DSI,
yes.
And the CSIR, because they worked quite closely to be able to then develop these products. And we are really excited that we're at the forefront of this technology, and hopefully then we are able to make a positive impact in South Africa. And then, of course, there is Deep Medical Therapeutics, of which I started. And what this company does is that we look at the use of technology to solve for diseases. And to be more specific, we look at the use of artificial intelligence to solve for drug-resistant diseases, and looking specifically at TB.
Yes.
So TB is just one of those diseases that constantly mutates, and we would like to then use the power of big data together with artificial intelligence in a simple manner that is user-friendly to be able to diagnose and treat TB specifically in remote areas.
And why did you choose TB? I understand that TB actually kills more people, but correct me if I'm wrong, worldwide than does HIV/AIDS.
Absolutely. I think just on the public health sector, we're doing quite well in terms of the treatment and management of HIV.
Yes.
But with TB, we're still struggling, and there are a variety of reasons for that. So, for example, we have limited treatment options for the disease. It's also a very difficult disease to treat. The medication is just completely horrible. People suffer from terrible side effects, so
yes.
Which makes it very difficult for them to adhere to that medication.
Yes. Yes.
And also, because of that, the disease then mutates, and because when people don't take the antibiotics as prescribed, the disease
yes.
then gets the opportunity to mutate.
Yes.
And of course, it's a contagious disease. So it's a really tough one to treat, and I think that is one of the reasons why I was more drawn to work with TB, because of the pressing need
yes.
over HIV.
Yes, and you have, as an individual, a deep sense of wanting to not give back. You're too young to give back. A deep sense of making a difference, making an impact
right.
on this country you love so much, South Africa, to the extent that you got a scholarship. It was a scholarship to go to Cambridge. Am I right?
Yes,
Cambridge University in England.
Yes. So after I studied my master's, I got an offer to do a PhD.
Because you did your first master's at Wits University.
Yes. And then I then carried on and did a second master's at Cambridge. And after that, I got an opportunity to stay on and work on a project that I was working on while doing my master's.
Yes.
But I really had the sense of that, you know, I have to come back to South Africa, use all the knowledge and skills that I've gained at Cambridge, the exposure and the learnings, come back to South Africa and just do something that would be of significance and actually help my country. So it was a very brave decision to just really say no to such a prestigious... It was quite a prestigious offer, but in my mind, I knew that there is more that I had to do.
Yes.
South Africa needs me more than Cambridge does, essentially. Whoa. So I said no to that opportunity, came back home, and started working on deep medical therapeutics.
And what? Explain that deep medical therapeutics. People say things like, you know, skin deep or whatever, but what is deep medical therapeutics?
So when I came up with the name, actually, it was a play on artificial intelligence, deep learning.
Oh yeah.
So it's also deep learning is just one of the tools that are used in artificial intelligence. So if you see a company that's called Deep Finance or Deep Mind, you know that there's a play on or there's a use of artificial intelligence. And my vision was really, how do we use AI in the healthcare sector? So then the medical came in, and then therapeutics, because I want to use this technology to treat and to diagnose and treat people, or to essentially treat diseases. So that's where the name Deep Medical Therapeutics came along. So I'm trusting that anyone who sees the name knows that it's associated with some sort of AI technology.
Yes. Oh, isn't that interesting? So people, not me, clearly.
You as well, Sue.
who see deep medical, deep whatever.
Yes.
Young people like you, you know instantly that that's got something to do with AI, artificial intelligence.
That's right.
My goodness. Oh, I learn something every day. So what I want to ask you next is, your work involves using technology to treat TB, which, as you said earlier, it does mutate, it does change. Mm-hmm. And what I find fascinating is that, to the extent, various parts of the country have different biospheres, and that could be involved in different mutations. I don't think I've got it quite right, but you can you answer that question?
So you're absolutely right. So what researchers are finding is that, for example, the TB in South Africa is not the same as the TB in China, is not the same as the TB in US.
Yes.
But more interestingly is that the TB in the Western Cape, for example, is not the same as the one in KZN.
I can't believe
different
strains. Why?
It's just several factors that influence how it mutates.
With the soil, the air we breathe.
Probably. One of the things that we also look at is the what they look at is the microbiome in people's lungs, which is affected by the air that we breathe, the food that we eat. It's so complex. It's really a complex thing that essentially contributes to what causes these genetic mutations. So it's environmental factors, essentially. But that's right. And now the key issue is that we've developed almost like a blanket approach to the diagnosis and treatment of TB.
Yes.
And researchers are learning that this is not the case. We need to move towards a more personalized way of doing things. And I think this is where the technology that I've proposed together with AI is able to then start looking towards a more personalized treatment to the personalized diagnosis and treatment of TB based on one's genetic profile and also the strain of TB that you have.
Isn't that fascinating? Oh my goodness. It's almost like I'm being flippant here when you're such a strong, deep scientist. It's almost like designer genes. You know, now you fill in a form and send it off to wherever and they make genes that fit exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's where really medicine should be going towards. And I mean, theoretically, people think that it's actually quite an expensive way of doing things if you go into the more personalized medicine way of doing things, but it's such a dire need. We have to look towards personalizing the treatment of diseases.
Yes.
That's where you'll get the most positive outcomes.
Yes, yes. And you know, I'm chatting to Dineo Dioma. I've got to find this quote from Bill Gates, because we are living through, oops, not that one, we are living through an era of, it's not yet even an era, it's a time of the coronavirus.
Yes.
And what I found interesting in doing research for this interview, Dineo, is that some time ago, we all know Bill Gates, billionaire philanthropist and Microsoft co-founder,
yes,
and he, I never knew this, has repeatedly warned that a global pandemic is an existential threat that needs to be addressed.
Mm.
And this was before coronavirus. Yes. And he said, and quote, if anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war, not missiles, but microbes.
Mm.
And that's what you're so involved in. Now, the work that you're doing, is there any way that in, I don't know, time to come in the next, I'm being cheeky,
yeah,
months, decades, could have an impact on, let me just say, not the coronavirus, because I mean, it's right here, it's sweeping the world, but something like it, bearing in mind what Bill Gates said a little while ago, would your work have some relevance in that sphere?
Absolutely. So my ultimate vision really is to be able to build a global database where we collect information on different diseases, their genetic strains, but also collect a database of different treatments, whether it be antibiotics or different medications, chemical compounds that we know would treat these diseases. So if, for example, if this platform is then there in place, if a disease like coronavirus comes up, we are able to then start doing gene sequencing and learning more about like how this disease behaves, but then match it up to this database and say, okay, using AI and big data analysis, we know that we can use this information that we have to then be able to recommend a treatment for the coronavirus. But it would obviously need a massive amounts of data about the disease and also about the possible treatments that we can use. So
yes,
we can find, if a platform like this was to be in place here today, we could perhaps even find that a medication that is used to treat colorectal cancer, for example, can be used to treat the coronavirus. So AI is able to then pick up these specific trends in data, and then we start learning from this different information. So this is why our focus really is on understanding, number one, how diseases mutate, but also then starting to collect enough information and data on possible treatments so that we can learn how to then treat these diseases and also with time then use this data to even create new medications where we won't waste our time spending tons of money doing medical trials or developing drugs. You know, we're able to harness the power of big data and AI to be able to then design these drug compounds that we know would, for example, treat the coronavirus, and we're able to shorten this time period. So maybe if it takes 2 years for us to develop a new drug, leveraging on the power of AI, we can turn this into a couple of months. Imagine if we could do that for the coronavirus.
Goodness.
And Bill Gates is absolutely right that I mean, and that's the issue with these microbes and this bacteria, is that it mutates. So you come up with a disease with a drug, my apologies, today.
Yes.
The disease has mutated and now it's become drug resistant. We need to design ways in which we respond quickly to these mutations and have the right drugs to be able to treat them. And really, AI and big data is at the cusp of this, and we'll be able to have such inventions with these systems in place. And that is really my innovation and my passion. We've already started with TB, but in the long term, we want to move into other disease areas that is able to then treat these type of diseases using this technology.
How fascinating. Now, because I'm sure everyone's riveted listening to what you've been talking about, I'm going to get into where you come from, yes, to give some understanding and inspiration to other people who want to follow in your footsteps. You don't come from a wealthy family. Both your mum and your dad were teachers. I don't know if they're still teaching. You come from Bloemfontein, yes, originally. You went to UNISA, yes, girls' high school. Yes. And then people who were looking, now what it was Alan Gray,
yes,
I
that's
think,
right,
yes. Explain how you ended up at WITS on an Alan Gray, what, scholarship or program?
Okay, so I actually got awarded the scholarship in grade 12, and that's because it really was by chance. So I can't say I did anything specific,
yes,
but one of my teachers actually identified me and said, you know, we really want you to get involved in some entrepreneurial programs at the school. At the time, it was a Christmas market that they'd been running for a couple of years, and they wanted some students to understand the business model and look into entrepreneurship. And they chose three students, and I was one of them. And from that, we were able to go present, at different competitions. One of them being in the Ukraine. And when I came
back,
yes, the Ukraine.
You flew to the Ukraine.
Yes, that was my first international school trip, which is really quite interesting.
Wow.
I didn't expect it to be that hot, but it was blazing hot. We went in the middle of summer. And when I came back, at the time, Alan Gray was still relatively new. So what they would do is that they would send out application forms to specific schools and tell the teachers to pick the top five students to apply for this opportunity.
Yes.
Things have changed now. It's really open to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, because I'd been involved with this Christmas market and I was already excelling at school, I was selected to then apply for this scholarship opportunity.
Mm.
And it was quite a rigorous application form, by the way. I really had to do a lot of soul searching and self-introspection. And what it really brought out of me was the fact that I wanted to make an impact in South Africa. I didn't know how at the time, but
yes,
I really wanted to be a leader and make a difference in my society.
Yes.
And so I got accepted into the scholarship, and it really has had such a massive impact on my mindset.
Yes.
How I believe I would like to contribute to South Africa and the world at large.
Yeah.
And it helped to really just develop the sense of an entrepreneurial mindset, whether
yes,
it's in corporate or in the business space. I've chosen to work specifically in the biotech space, but really, how do we then use that entrepreneurial mindset to make an impact in that industry,
yes,
whilst still doing good? So there's a massive emphasis on doing good,
yes,
to society, because this is also one of the visions of Dr. Gray himself, who
yes,
started the organization, who recently passed away. He
yes,
believed that it's the youth of South Africa that is going to solve its societal problems. It's not government. It's not a corporate.
Mm.
It is us as young people.
Yes.
But we need to be equipped with the right resources, be it education, being a supportive network, be it with the development of an entrepreneurial mindset. And once we have that,
yes,
then we'll be free to really hit the sky and,
yes,
and solve the different challenges that we have as a nation.
Isn't that fantastic? So it was Alan Gray's Orbis,
Orbis
what's
Foundation.
The full name? Orbis Foundation.
Yes.
What a vision he had,
mm-hmm,
and how fascinating that he has inculcated through this foundation his passion.
That's right.
For young people, so many of whom in South Africa are out of jobs, even if they're university graduates.
Yes.
And here comes this multi-talented young Dineo Dioma, who has not only fulfilled his vision, and you're only just taking off, you've got a long way to go. And isn't that absolutely brilliant?
I am so grateful for the opportunity. I really consider it as a privilege. And I take it that it's my responsibility. You mentioned something about unemployment, youth
yes,
unemployment. It's my responsibility to solve that. It's not someone else's. It's
not
the government's. It's
yes,
my personal responsibility.
Yes.
I have been given the privilege to go to a good university, the privilege to even have the opportunity to study, know the people that we know, you know,
yes,
just our different life experiences.
Yes.
But we have that responsibility to solve the challenges that we have as a society, and one of them is youth unemployment.
Yes. Ah, well, with those extraordinarily satisfying and challenging remarks, because they are, that youth must step up to the plate and help solve the many problems that that face young people in this country. I have so enjoyed chatting to you, Dineo Dioma, and I wish you all the luck in the world. And this is a trajectory. You're just going to reach for those stars and keep on. And one day, your name and however many more companies are going to be blazed across the world. Well done.
Thank you so much, Sue. I really appreciate the words of encouragement.
Thank you, Dineo. Bye-bye.